They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
Welcome to Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. And we've got so much exciting things happening right now. This show is growing. We're building. We're getting ready, right, Doug? We're getting ready to reach new markets in addition to watching us here on the FISM.TV network and hearing us on 610 ESPN Philadelphia. We are soon going to be launching on the Joy FM sports app in Alabama, guys. Alabama.
And deep south.
107.5 Alive, 10 to 11 on Saturdays. How about that?
We're expanding, man. It's great. We appreciate the partnerships from these stations and the guys that just want to hear our stories and promote our show.
Love it.
Good job getting that done.
Yeah, good job.
Way to take care of all that stuff.
Man. I
can't wait to be in Alabama, man. I can't wait. But guys, we've got a star-studded lineup. First up will be our first baseball player in season two of this show, and it is someone who could very well be on his way to winning the National League Most Valuable Player Award. He is St. Louis Cardinals, do everything, third baseman, first baseman. He's an all-star, Matt Carpenter. We'll hear from him next in a bit. Then we're going to introduce a new segment on this show called Faith in the Field.
In the Field.
We're so excited to have our first guest, the immensely popular former news anchor in Philadelphia, Misha Johnson. She'll be joining us live in studio, and she's starting a new journey that blends media and ministry. So make sure you stay tuned to find out what Misha has coming up next. I'm so fired up, fellas, about our topic today. I love talking about this, and we're going to call this episode Don't At Me. And for those of you who aren't into social media slang, don't at me means this. You can feel free to like, retweet, share my post, repost, whatever it is, but don't comment directly at me. Yeah. Don't respond to me because I don't care what you have to say about my opinion. And that pretty much sums it up. I've actually never used don't at me. So I'm going to take this, though, in a whole other direction because we live in a social media age where so many people in our younger generation, they only communicate that way. They won't pick up a phone. They're communicating through social media. And we're told that we're more important or we're more valuable based on how many people like us or how many people follow us and all that stuff. And it gets so easy to get caught up in that, regardless of who we are. None of us, right? None of us are immune to the allure of popularity. The allure of popularity, because it can lie to you a whole lot. And Paul writes in Galatians 1:10, and Pastor Kyle, I want you to explain this a little bit, the entire context.
Sure.
But Paul writes, Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. We need to be careful who we're trying to win over. Who are we trying to impress, whether it's on social media or wherever? Who are we trying to seek validation from? Because if we base our value on the opinions of other people, we're never going to be satisfied. Yeah. And if we care more about whether other people think of us, we can never have this inner peace. So this doesn't apply just to our social media life, but our everyday life, because they definitely obviously go hand in hand. If we live to please other people, if we live to impress other people, to get our validation from other people, I don't know how we could possibly be serving the Lord at the same time. But if we seek to please God in all we do, we can't go wrong. People are going to disappoint you. God isn't. So don't at me, at him. Pastor Kyle?
Yeah. Look, you know, the truth is insecurity is rooted in humanity. And so the truth for me is that my greatest mistakes in life have not come out of ignorance. They've come out of insecurity.
Wow.
I've known better. I've understood better, but I've wanted to make people happy. I didn't want people to be upset with me. And I'm not talking about when I was 18 or 15. I'm talking about as a grown man, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a leader, as a business owner. And I've watched every time that I've done that for that to come back and bite me. It's been a journey, Rob, to be honest. It's been a journey. I love what Paul says here because it's at the heartbeat of the journey humanity needs to take. You know, he's being accused of preaching for his own gain, for putting his opinion out there for, you know, for his own popularity, for not preaching truth so that he could win the favor of others. And what he's basically saying is, if I was doing all that, I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through. He said, I'm being attacked on every angle because I'm standing on the truth. And, you know, for him, he took that journey that we all need to take where we find our security, we find our identity, we find our approval in Jesus and in his well done. Because I love what you just said. The truth is when we try to win the approval of others and we're trying to find peace in that, well, there'll always be people out there who don't like what we have to say, who are on the opposite side, who are going to troll us, hate us.
No matter who you are.
It doesn't matter. You cannot please everyone. And there's this beautiful text in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, and not the peacekeepers. And we try to keep the peace all the time because we think that that's where the blessing is. Yeah. If I could just keep the peace, make everybody happy, I'll be blessed. But Jesus doesn't call us to be a peacekeeper. He calls us to be a peacemaker. And sometimes peacemakers means that there has to be conflict, there has to be confrontation, there has to be a difference of opinion in that. And the only way that we can do that is if we, like Paul, say, I'm okay if everyone doesn't like me. I'm okay if I can find my acceptance in the one who loved me enough to give his life for me. And that's Jesus. And that's the beautiful thing about the gospel, is that we don't have to be good enough to receive the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that comes to us in our lack of goodness.
Amen. I heard a gospel message recently, a sermon where it was based all about if everyone likes you.
Yeah.
Then you're not serving.
Yeah, you're probably not standing on.
Life, you're making standing everybody happy. You're doing something wrong. Yeah, if everybody likes you, you may be doing something wrong if everyone likes you. Doug, you're a father, a husband, a professor. You're here on this show. You got people pulling you in every kind of direction. How do you stay on top of trying to make sure you're serving the Lord, you're pleasing him and not other people?
Well, to be honest with you, I do want to please other people,
yeah.
right? And that's a really difficult pull that happens all the time. Because we do want to please people. I think staying grounded is being reminded every day that I'm trying to teach my girls that that's how they should be, right? And so if I can't do it myself and I'm preaching it, I don't want to be a hypocrite. And I think that's my daily reminder.
Really
I want to be an example to my students. I want to be an example to my friends. Most importantly, my family.
Yeah.
And it's a daily choice. And I think that we follow that roller coaster. We go up and down and we have some really good times. And hey, that post that we made got a lot of attention.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. And then you kind of follow it. But the next thing you know, you're wasting a lot of time kind of following your
checking
feed,
your notifications.
Right?
Yeah,
like, another comment. That's pretty cool, right? That's the honest truth. And we can waste a lot of time. So I think prioritizing and being intentional about how we spend our day and what we want to teach our friends and our family.
It's funny, you just said that. I was watching the Monday night game the other night, and Ninja, who is a social media guru, right? This video game guy comes on, and you know, when we think that we got something on social media, I have this many followers, this is great.
Right.
He had 17 million followers. Like, you're just thinking, this kid is playing video games for a living, right?
Yeah.
It's 17 million.
It's
amazing. So, Doug, what you just said is true. I think at the end of the day, guys, we have to come back to this. Trying to find our wholeness in anything else but our continual encounter and intimacy with Jesus is unhealth. It's unhealth. And so all those things that you said are true. They should be motivating factors for us. But at the heartbeat of everything, when I try to find my approval in anyone else other than Jesus, it creates distance between myself and Jesus. If I was trying to find my acceptance in anyone else other than my wife, come on, they will create distance between myself.
Come on, somebody,
right? And my wife. We have to recognize that. So our goal is not just to be to be okay not being liked, because that's what people will do. They'll say, "Well, I'm all right not being liked,"
that's
but they're really not, and that's not health.
Yeah.
Health is this. Health is recognizing that anything other than my acceptance in Jesus will create distance between myself and Jesus. And that will always lead us to brokenness.
Guys, this is a constant struggle for me because in the media business and then being on talk radio and talking, it's so hard to not try and please other people because you know you can say certain things, right? You can say certain things that's going to get attention.
Absolutely.
You
can
say certain things that's going to get people calling in and all riled up. So I literally have to be intentional about it. Like every time I walk into that studio at some point, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, I literally have to pray about it that I'm staying true to who I want to be,
yes,
to who I'm trying to represent, and that's a servant for the Lord. I want to tackle real quickly this subject because we're talking about social media here and trying to live to please God and not trying to please other people. So, you know, social media is such a powerful tool for building our brand, and I use it to promote my book, and we got all this stuff going on. And I struggle to not come across as being self-centered.
Yeah.
And then I tell myself, well, maybe my book is going to impact people. So I feel a little bit better about consistently posting. And then I have to do it as part of like my deal. You're supposed to put out all of this stuff and you're supposed to always do that. But I look at it from a business standpoint, but then I look at it also from a personal standpoint. And social media can be something that pulls you away and takes you away from the attention and drives you away from God. So how do we, Pastor Kyle, how do we, in whatever industry that we're in, strike that balance between promoting our business, promoting our brand, and also maintaining our servitude to the Lord?
Yeah, I think you just hit it really at the heartbeat of it, Rob. I think there's a difference between promoting something and promoting someone. And the truth is, many times in promoting something, what we're really doing is promoting someone ourselves. And that's a hard issue. I can't give you if you do it this way and that or that way, because there are, you know, the Bible clearly talks about, you know, a Pharisee came and gave a lot of money but his heart was far from God. A widow came and gave 2 pence, right? 2 mites. But her heart was close to God. And so the truth is in this journey, it's not about the manner in which we post. It's actually what is the post doing inside of you and I. And that's the journey that I think we have to take. I saw a statistic the other day that was a little scary, that adults in this generation spend over 2 hours a day on social media.
Two hours a day
on social media, which by the end of our lives means 5 years of our life. 5 years of our life.
Wow.
It's just nothing but social media. Now, what's really scary is that on the other side of that pendulum, there are teenagers today that spend 9 hours a day on social media, which
That's
at
incredible.
The end of their life is 20 years of their lives doing
nothing.
And this
nothing. Is based on living how many years?
Well,
the average adult.
So, I mean, when we talk about social media, social media is not right or wrong. It's the question is it your master or are you its master?
How are you using it? What are you promoting?
Yeah,
what is the post about?
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to hear from St. Louis Cardinals All-Star Matt Carpenter. This is Faith on a Field Show presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Hi, I'm Rob Motti. Every day you listen to the news, but how is that news affecting your financial world? Will an upswing in Asia affect your retirement investments? Will a drought halfway around the world dry up your income? You might not feel the immediate effects of every world event, but you do need to keep a close eye on your finances in these times of change. Rick Santella can help you do that.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, I'm Rick Santella, a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. I'm right here in the Philadelphia region, and I have more than 35 years of experience and the resources to help you keep moving forward. Asset allocation, retirement planning, wealth management, these are all areas I can help you stay on top of.
To make an appointment with Rick, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meeting with Rick Santella could be the most important event of your day.
Asset allocation does not guarantee a profit or protect against a loss. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
To Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner. I had a chance to speak to St. Louis Cardinals all-star Matt Carpenter last summer. Here is that interview.
Matt, great to have you on the show. On your Twitter profile, it starts out with Christian. Then it tells us you're a husband and a father, then a St. Louis Cardinal. Tell me why your faith is so important to you.
Well, I mean, certainly, it's the backbone. Foundation of, you know, what my life's all about, and it was something that I was lucky enough to be part of a Christian home growing up, and grew up in the church, and then have gotten a chance to have my faith grow as time's gone on, and kind of figure out what that means for me, and it's like I said, it's certainly in that order for that reason, because it's the foundation of my life.
When you grew up in the church, was it something where you had experience knowing Christ and eventually it took you time until you developed a relationship with him? And how did that journey for you develop?
For sure. You know, as a kid, you're in church mainly because your parents tell you to. But as you grow older and your relationship starts to develop and you kind of see what that really means and what life is all about and kind of the deeper meaning to life that comes through Jesus, and that was something that kind of developed for me over through college, getting into the Word and following that spiritual journey that has led me to where I am today.
When you were in college and you had an injury and you had the Tommy John surgery, I read a story that said that's where your faith really grew. What was that experience like for you, and what happened there?
Well, I mean, at that point in my life, baseball, going back to that order that we talked about, baseball probably was at the top of the list. And when you have something taken away from you that's so, fleeting, like the game of baseball is and like life in general is, really opens up your eyes to what's really important, and it took me leaning on my faith and really growing in my faith to really get to the point where I could even play the game again, let alone get back on the field and recover from that injury. And it just opened up my eyes and my perspective that, you know, baseball is only going to be here for so long, but, you know, that relationship is eternal, and it was just huge. It was huge for me to have that and to be able to lean back on that and fall on that when, times were tough.
In a way, do you think God was showing you at that period of your life that he's in charge? You're not in charge. He's in charge. His plan is better than your plan, and he knows what's best for you going forward.
Oh, there's no question. You know, I think that was the biggest thing that I took from that was, I had this plan in my own mind that I was going to go to college and get drafted and go play professional baseball, and at that moment, that was all taken away, and didn't know if I'd ever get it back. And that was, I think, the biggest message was exactly that. Like, hey, this isn't for you to decide. I've got my plans for you, and it was a humbling thing, but it was really one of the best moments of my life, and it's made me into who I am today.
To be on a team like the Cardinals, where there's a strong Christian bond among a lot of the players, we always say iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 27:17. How much have your teammates influenced you in your walk? And just to be able to have that camaraderie, get together, have Bible study and things like that?
You know, it's certainly huge. Like I mentioned in college, that was a really growing point in my faith. And then God really opened up the door for me to continue to grow by putting me in this organization. When I joined St. Louis and finally made it to the big leagues in 2011, those first couple years when I was really starting to grow, I think that was really transformational for me. Just the amount of guys that I saw, guys that I looked up to, big leaguers that I had played with or that I had seen on TV as a kid, and now I'm playing with them and watching them be not only great Christians but great husbands, great fathers, really helped me substantially. And then now to kind of flash forward where I'm one of those veteran guys, and I hope to have that impact on a younger player that we have, younger players that we have. And I think that's kind of your, you know, mission as a Christian, and, you know, especially an athlete, is to mentor those that, or to mentor like you've been mentored.
Do you find it tough in today's society where sometimes it's not that popular to be a Christian, and sometimes if we express some of our views, people look at us in a negative light, and we see the numbers of Christians under 30 going to church trending downward and downward? Do you find it difficult, and what do you say to younger kids to inspire them to get in the Word and that really Christianity's cool?
You know, it is. I think that's the biggest struggle that kids nowadays deal with. You know, you look at social media and phones and all the access that people have to all certain things, and, you know, finding your sense of worth and things like Instagram and some of these other outlets. But my encouragement to them is that there's something greater out there, something more important, something that isn't fleeting, something that's eternal, and something that has meaning. And, you know, that's through God and through the Word. And I think that would be my most encouragement, that if you fall on tough times, or even if you're going through good times, to seek out that, because that is the one thing in life that where true joy is found.
Matt, we really appreciate your time and joining us on Faith on the Field show. Thank you, and we wish you tons of blessings.
All right, thank you very much.
And that was Cardinals All-Star Matt Carpenter, who is having a fantastic season, hitting all those home runs out of the leadoff spot in the lineup. Guys, we're talking about living to please the Lord and not living to please others. Matt says his faith is the foundation for his life, and he began when he grew up in a Christian home. Pastor Kyle, how important is it as fathers, and for all the moms out there watching as well and listening and all that, how important is it for all the parents, I should say, to set that foundation for our children when they're young?
Oh, I think it's essential. The Word of God says, raise up a child, train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they get older, they won't depart from it. And so that's really a statement of faith. It doesn't mean that your children won't struggle or even stray. But the seeds that we plant in faith in our kids along the way, the example that we set for them, because let's be honest, when you have a child who is preteen, they will always listen to you, or at least they learn how to listen to you. They do what you say. But when children start to get to be teenagers, they end up doing what you do. And that's why Paul tells Timothy, man, we got to set the example. We got to make sure we set the example. Fathers are the table setters, really, for Christian faith, for being able to walk in victory. There's a reason God said that the blessing goes through the father. The blessing, a father that actually lives out faith, he'll be blessed through generations. And yet a father that despises God, right, there's generational curses that are released as well. And so we have to recognize that fatherhood carries with it a great responsibility. I just saw a statistic a little bit ago that said if fathers bring their children, their families to church, 80% of those children stay in church after they get to be adults.
80%.
Wow. But if it's just a mom having to do the work and the dad stays home, now these are in a father and a mother families, 17% stay in.
Wow. That's a staggering. And that hits me hard.
Yeah.
Because I have been so busy. Remy's taking the girls to the Connect Church.
Yeah.
And I've been
Which
on radio, and I've been somewhere else. And they love it. They absolutely love going there. For me, it's my number one priority. As a dad, like it's beyond everything else. You have to provide for your family.
Yes.
You want to raise them the right way. You want to make sure you're working. But the number one priority for me is to raise my girls, Alexia and Melina, to know the Lord. So we pray together every night as much as I can when I'm home. We pray together. We pray throughout the day. We sing worship music together. And last week, on their way to the first day of school, and Alexia and Melina are in the back, and we're driving them. It's a first day of kindergarten. It was tough, man. I don't know if I can get through this. So they say to us, right? And they go, "Mommy, Daddy," and we said, "Like what?" And they were like, we made a sign to let each other know if one of us isn't happy to come over and give each other a hug. I heard that, man. And these are five-year-old girls. I'm not going to be able to get through this, man. It like lifted me up. Like, wow, I'm doing it. Me and Remy are doing the right thing. Like, they understand the love of the Lord.
Yeah.
They understand because they share it together. They put this sign together to make sure, hey, like, you know, I'm upset. I want you to come over here and hug me. So it's a beautiful thing. Matt Carpenter talks about his priority being baseball when he was in college. And then he goes on and he has elbow surgery. And he learned that baseball is really only a small part of who he is. It's more important for him, his relationship with the Lord, because that's eternal. Pastor Kyle, how do we protect ourselves from making our identity revolve around what we do instead of who we are?
Yeah, it's very difficult, I think, in our generation, because one of the very first questions we ask each other, what do you do? So much of our value is based off of what we do, what we earn, how many friends that we have, or all those kind of things. And I think that really is a challenge that gets back to the garden, where the real question that Adam and Eve were posed with is, are you enough the way God created you? Mm-hmm. And the enemy came in and said, Eve, you're not enough. Adam, you're not enough. God's holding something back from you. If you just had something I could give you, the world could give you, you'd be complete. And yet, at the end of the day, it was actually their pursuit of that that robbed them from who they are. And so it gets back to what we've been talking about this entire time. Paul says, I've been crucified in Christ, therefore I no longer live. The life I live now, I live in faith. I live in the Son of God. It's Christ who lives inside of me. And that really is the answer, the constant reminder of Jesus is in me. Jesus has called me to have a relationship with him.
All right, guys, when we come back, get ready, because we are going to have a very special segment with a very special guest. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Caron University.
High stakes, deep faith, and unbreakable brotherhood. Hi, this is Rob Motti, author and narrator of the new book and audiobook, Birds of Prey. I'm excited to share this incredible inside story about how faith inspired the Philadelphia Eagles when they captured the biggest prize in professional sports, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Within Birds of Prey, you'll discover the Eagles players' unique friendships, deep faith, and big dreams that shaped one of the greatest seasons ever for the team. In this audiobook, you'll hear insider accounts of the miracle season's most memorable moments, and you will discover a side of the Philadelphia Eagles that the world has yet to fully witness. I've also put together exclusive interviews from the players that will reveal the high stakes they faced together and their relentless reliance on faith, which gave them strength in moments of crisis and celebration alike. You can start listening to the Birds of Prey audiobook on SoundCloud, and the audiobook is available on Audible, Google Play, Kobo, and wherever audiobooks are sold.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Caron University. I'm Rob Motti with Pastor Kyle Horner, and we are so thrilled to be joined by a special guest for our first ever Faith in the Field segment here on Faith on the Field Show. She is a former morning news anchor at CBS 3 Philly who recently left to build her own media and ministry company. Yeah. Misha Johnson, thank you so much for joining us here on set.
So good to have you.
You guys, pleasure is all mine. Thanks for having me.
It is so great to have you in here, Misha. Let's begin with your faith journey, your background in the church, and how you grew spiritually.
So this is the foundation of everything. So I'm so glad this question is coming first, because without me saying this, none of my story would make sense. I think, unlike so many people that I've had conversations with, I was not raised in the church. So we would maybe go on Easter or maybe go on Christmas, but I was never taught why and what the story was behind it. So I didn't know Jesus and I didn't know God from that sort of lens. I just knew it as a certain holiday and that you celebrate something. With that being said, though, as a kid, I always believed in a God, but I didn't know him as a real entity in my life. I just thought it was something in the sky somewhere that was there.
Was it kind of a religion for you, more religion than relationship? We talk about that a lot.
You know, and even that was a distant thing. Mm-hmm. Even because if someone would have said, do you understand what religion is? At that age growing up, I really wouldn't have known what that is really either. So it was so distant. It was a concept. It was a word an English word that you would say. It wasn't until much later in my life when I went through a really, really hard time. I went through a really hard divorce with a man that I had been married to for so many years, and we had two daughters together, that during that divorce was when I found God, or as I really like to say it, God found me, because I didn't even know who to look for. I didn't know him. And I was vacuuming my living room one day, and I had to go pick up my daughters from school. And I tell this story with the utmost respect, because sometimes when you experience something like this, there aren't a lot of words for it. But I have to, because it changed the trajectory of my entire life. So I was vacuuming my living room, and I had this overwhelming feeling. And this is in the middle of divorce, so in and out of court. My dad was struggling with stage 4 stomach cancer, so I'd leave the courthouse and run to the University of Minnesota, where he was struggling for his life. So I was going through all these things, and I had two young daughters, as I had mentioned. So I was going through all this heavy, heavy stress in my life. And like I said, I was leaning on my own doings, on what I could do for myself. Absolutely. As I was vacuuming my living room that day, I had this overwhelming feeling. People ask me all the time, was it a physical feeling? Did someone force you? No, it wasn't. It was an overwhelming feeling where I knew what I had to do, and I didn't know why. But I knew I had to do it. And what that was stop the vacuum, get on my knees in front of this window in my townhouse at the time, and pray. And I had never done that in my life before, because I didn't understand, well, why? Who are you talking to? What are you doing? So when I had that overwhelming feeling to stop my vacuum and pray, I knew that it was a direct call to do something, because my brain itself would never have thought to do that, because I didn't know it.
Right.
So I did, and when I did, I had never put Christian music on my radio before, and it was playing on my radio. And there was a song about Jesus, and I thought, I'm going crazy. I'm so stressed out in my life right now that I'm losing my mind.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I did is I kind of, in a weird, awkward tiptoe, went to the window like, is this really, am I just thinking this to myself, or am I feeling to do this? And I got down on my knees, and I looked up, and there were two suns in the sky. So I took a picture, I sent it to one of my best friends, and I said, Rita, do you see two suns in this picture? And she wrote back and said, yes, I do, but I do not see them from where I am.
Wow.
So I prayed for the first time in my life, and I really had a heart to heart, like, I don't know who you are up there. I don't know you, but I need help. This is all this stress that I'm going through right now with the divorce and my daughters and custody and my dad in the hospital. I said, I myself can't, but I don't know who you are. So if this is what this is supposed to mean, who are you and how can you help me? From that point forward, and this was over a decade ago, if I could possibly in this 15 minutes that I have, 15 minutes or less, tell you how my life completely changed. So I'm going to sum it up and just say this. I ended up becoming engulfed in this bubble of learning. Everything cleared out of my life. And all I did for 3 years was read and read. And Christian literature, including the entire Holy Bible from cover to cover, could not have gone through my system any more fluidly like liquid. I literally became a student of God himself, because there was no one else that came to me that day. I had nothing but court and to read. So I was reading and reading and reading and reading and reading. And then I started a women's Bible study group in Minnesota. And that led into a whole host of weird things happening. For example, I had a pastor show up one day and offered me this book that said, it's all about fasting. And I thought, I know a little bit now about that, but I want to learn more. Read that within a day. 2 days later, this church was starting a fast called the Daniel Fast.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
And what is so fantastic about it is that I said, well, 2 days, you know what? I'm starting that in 2 days. I might as well. I'm already in the thick of all this crazy. Why not? Right? Yeah. During that fast, though, what I prayed for was I needed to know which direction to go. Continue down the television route, which I've been doing since I was, I started off in the theater. That's a whole nother story. Anyway, I did the Daniel fast, and in that fast I was praying for, I wanted to be very specific, because in that book that I had read, it said to be very specific. And I said, do I stay in television, which is my sole work, or do I go in commercial real estate, which was starting to heat up a little bit. I was into real estate, but it wasn't sole work. That was lucrative.
Yeah.
It was all money.
Yeah.
So for 21 days, I said, do I stay in this kind of feast or famine kind of thing, or do I do this? Within 2 days of finishing that fast, CBS Philly came out of nowhere. Called me. I was not looking for them.
Wow.
Was not looking for a TV job. Was not putting all my stuff out there nationally. In fact, I had a family. So that was actually going to be a huge challenge for me to be called and uprooted out of state. But because of that, those years prior of studying and becoming a student.
Yes.
And being open enough to really not look at it as like, oh, yeah, I don't believe that. No. I wasn't about to cherry pick.
Yeah.
Because of what I had experienced in my living room, I knew that what I was about to read and experience was for the rest of my life going to be fact. And then if it was fact, I would just trust God that it would actually reveal itself so I would know that it was real.
Yeah.
Time and time again since then, over a decade, has that manifested itself, including the Daniel Fast, which brought me to Philly. So let's talk about Philly since I'm sitting here in in Pennsylvania. When I got here, I was so, no, number one, it was a huge challenge to get here, but I knew that if God was leading me there, that's where he wanted me to go, and there was going to be a purpose and an intention. And it wasn't just going to be TV, although he was going to use my quote-unquote gift of gab to do that, but it wasn't really about that, and I knew that now. I knew now that this call to Philadelphia with CBS was, yes, to use my mouthpiece, but it was all for him. It had nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
It's all for him. So to get to Philadelphia was really, really difficult. When I finally got here and settled in into the TV thing, now, of course, I was homesick. My family's now all in Minnesota and whatever. And I knew that I was really going to have to put on kind of the tin man suit, cut out emotions, and just go, God's will. This is going to be hard, but you know and I know that you're only going to give me what I can handle. So I just got to have faith in that. The 3 years that I was working with CBS was nothing short of an incredible blessing from start to finish. And we could go a whole nother show on all what had happened within those 3 years. But during that time at CBS and as I was working there, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that Philadelphia was now not only my second home, my spiritual home.
Wow.
Is where he led me out of Minnesota. Yeah. And where he really found me to go, no, now we got the work to do. Like, you studied, so you kind of get it, you know, in this kind of kindergartner state of mind. But now the work, I'm going to test your faith. Wow. I'm going to test it through and through, because you're not going to have anyone. You're going to have your family to lean on. You don't have anything. You're just going to have the gift set that I've given you. That, by the way, I'm such a firm believer in this. We all have these gift sets that he calls us to use. And when we're using them, it's very... The gift set alone is easy. It becomes very fluid,
yes,
right? So when you're working within your gift set, it's very, very easy to use them. When you work outside of them, life feels more difficult. So, which is, I think, when people really understand faith in terms of Christianity, I think that that's one of those moments for so many people that grab them in as opposed to push them out is when you go, no, you have a gift. And man, if you use that and you use it in the right way. And that's what I was feeling in Philly working on TV, because I didn't know the roads. When I first started and I was trying to I didn't know one road over here. Not one.
Some of us live here our whole lives.
Yeah, still can't figure it out.
If it wasn't for GPS, I would never make it here every week.
I'm so glad you said that, because I tried to tell people that and they had no mercy. They're like, no, you have the driver's order. You should know the road. So it became my spiritual home. I have such a deep love for Philadelphia, for them embracing me when they didn't have to. Some girl was kind of maybe mid-weird accent, didn't know the roads very well. And one of the first days on air, what I said was, you know, I don't know this. You know as well as I do that I don't know. So I'm just not going to stand up here and pretend I know all these roads. This is going to be a teamwork thing. And right, I think, when I really was like, that's what it is. It is a teamwork. Yeah. And this is just humanity
as
a whole.
Wow.
Yep.
But it's teamwork right now.
Yep.
And I thought, so for the rest of my contract, and I didn't know where that contract was going to go. I had no idea what God was going to do from that. But during the time that I was working at CBS, every encounter that I had, every experience I had, every day on air, getting up at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, everything that seemed hard, I was constantly thinking, this is a spiritual journey, and you're going to be tested in ways that are both beautiful and really hard. It's hard.
So let's get into that.
Yeah, let's
get into it, because you are starting this media and ministry company.
Yes.
What led you to that? And as you said, towards the end there, you knew it, mm-hmm. your time. So that makes it easier to let go when we know it's our time. Absolutely. We know, hey, we can let go.
Yeah.
But what led to that process?
You know, it's really weird when people ask, how do you know, right? Because it's so different for everyone. So it's hard that you don't want to say like, well, you'll know when, because it's so different. For me, I could tell towards the end that the gifts that I was have been given, they were being used, but not used to the full capacity for him.
Yes
on TV, but that wasn't just going to be it had to be about people. So the soul, the work was there, the gifts were there, but my soul wasn't being ignited like I knew it should. So as time was going on, I started writing a screenplay, and I started off in Minnesota, the theater and the sports stuff and whatever, but I also was in the film community, and I started writing a screenplay about a love story revolving around Christmas, the real meaning of Christmas. I would sit at CBS when I had some downtime and work on this screenplay and work on this screenplay. I didn't know why. Why am I so compelled to write a screenplay that'll probably get dusty and sit on a desk somewhere?
Any writing experience before that?
I had written some, but never at the point where I was, I write on social media all the time, but I never wrote like this. This was almost becoming something where, as I said, when I was reading, it was going through me so fluid. It's one of those things where my hand had a pen. It was just writing itself. And it was my story about a woman in Philly. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's so important to even talk about the Holy Spirit, because sometimes people miss that that's what's
absolutely
in us. They call it intuition.
Yeah.
Oh, it was my intuition. But it's not. And once you understand
that. Well, you were saying about, when you use your gifts and they're easy to you.
Yes.
We sometimes mistake it as not seeing God move.
Yes.
But he created us with those gifts inside of us.
Yes.
So when we're utilizing them, it is easier for us.
Yes.
We don't even recognize that it's God.
Take them for granted sometimes.
We take them for granted. Exactly right.
Yeah.
But when you actually can plug in to him in the midst of that, that's where they become refined. And you see what you said, which is so beautiful, is that in that wilderness time that you were here for 3 years, while you were faithful with using the gift, mm-hmm. it actually expanded the capacity for the gift. So that after that 3 years, you were starting to feel, hey, there's something missing.
Yes.
There's something missing. And then what's missing is because you expanded the capacity of what was inside of you utilizing that gift. And that's when that, assignment and then the alignment kind of come into connection. And you go, I need to realign because the assignment is bigger now.
Yeah.
It's not that we were wrong 3 years ago when we started the assignment.
Yes.
It's that the capacity inside of us grew so big that now God is continuing to expand the potential for the assignment.
And that's the thing. He's only going to give you one step.
Absolutely.
He's not going to show you the entire picture.
Absolutely.
And that's where faith comes in.
But step out of the wilderness into the promised land.
Yes.
Well, what's the promised land? Well, I'm just going to give you a picture.
That's
flow with milk and honey.
Yes.
But if I told you everything that it held, you'd be afraid.
And that's what I love about that visual of when they say it's like you're in the Colosseum and there's all these, prophets and all these people that have gone before you, or people that have walked that faith journey, and they're all applauding you because they can see you down there and they know what you're doing because they've been there.
Yes.
And when you have that visual of I am not alone, first of all, I am not alone.
Absolutely.
God is with us.
That is so important.
It is so important.
Because often in your time of chaos and all that you're going through, to know that, to have that feeling.
Oh, yeah.
It's crucial.
When I landed on this soil, I was alone. I did not know one person in the state of Pennsylvania, Delaware Valley as a whole. And so quickly going back to that script, I can't share the full details. I will. But I recently sold that to a major motion picture house. Oh, Christmas.
Come on. Go Christmas. It's my wife's favorite holiday.
Wow.
Yeah. She will watch that movie, I promise you.
And I'm sending her.
She will watch that movie.
She gets the first copy.
So we're breaking news right now.
Yeah, I love this. It's breaking news.
Yes. Details will be coming. But what this did was, it's not me. And this is what people have to understand. This is not me like, oh, I'm a good writer. Or I think sometimes people can twist their gifts into... Mm-hmm. Well, look at what I can do. But once you tap into what God has done for you, you realize I can do nothing without him, but I can do everything with him. And once you grab that and faith becomes, that is your entire life now. And when things go hard and you can't see it, you can't see one step in front of you, and you go faith, he just puts the pen in your hand. He just puts the books in your heart, head, mind, even wisdom to understand what you're reading and conceptualize it and believe in it. Mm-hmm. But from that is what developed where I said, I have to use my 15 plus years of media experience and all that's going on here and all the people that are saying more, 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 do this, which is God-led. I got to start my own thing so I can do what I want with it and share it how I want it to be shared.
That's it. That's an incredible story, and we're looking forward to seeing that major motion picture. Today on the show, we're talking about the influence of social media.
Yeah.
You are a social media superstar. You're phenomenal on
you
there.
So
I don't know. The only time I got more notifications on a tweet was when Carson Wentz added me. And that was the only other time. So it's Carson, then Misha right there. And it's blowing up, right?
Me and Carson did have like a Twitter off.
That's good.
So the importance of using that platform that you have with this audience to glorify the Lord, and you do on Facebook segments, Wednesday Wisdom, and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
How important is it for people who may not have the microphone or the platform or the audience that you have to do that even in their own little way?
You know, I handle this with delicate kid gloves because the way the Lord touches us, like I always feel like he's always gently knocking on the door. It's up to us to open the door, right? So everyone's faith walk and when they get to know God, when they let him in, so to speak, is so different that I always say, first of all, God knows your heart anyway. So just be super honest and authentic with the way that you approach it. Because if it comes out of kind of this way that isn't genuine, the person on the receiving end could actually be turned off. So it's one of these very, we have this responsibility when we are going to bring it to other people, that it's not about them. It's about us and how it changed us, right?
Yes, how we can be transparent about God's encounter with us. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
In our own testimony.
Absolutely.
Because
right.
our own story is what is going to move people. Not about, I read this, so I think they're going to go, I don't really care. What have you lived?
Yes,
right?
Correct.
That,
absolutely right.
That is what... So when I came out to Philly, now that you guys know my backstory, clearly, how dare I not get on that platform, even though I knew it was risky. Working in news, it is risky. But how dare me not get on that platform and share what he had just done? Because I wouldn't have even been in Philadelphia had he not.
That's right.
And so my thing is, regardless of whatever platform you're in, if he has touched you, changed your life, even if you just want to know him more, share that story of why. Why do you want to know more? What's happening? Because that's a story that's going to touch someone. So it doesn't matter if you're in your backyard at a barbecue, your neighbor next door. The platform itself and the number of people, that is absolutely does not matter to God.
Absolutely.
God
that's
cares
exactly
about
right.
an individual
Absolutely
heart.
Right. It's yeah, about, God's given us all platforms.
Yes.
Exactly right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, because that person that you're telling at the barbecue or at the gas station or at the whatever... That person matters just as equally as the president of the United States or whoever it is. God loves whoever you are. And by the way, the president, that's not a political statement because I know everyone loves it. It's a political argument.
We like to say here, we use a sports analogy, everyone's an MVP in God's
Absolutely
eyes.
Right.
We are all
so
most
true.
Valuable
yeah.
players in
that's,
God's eyes.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this before you get out of here because I know you're asked this question so often. Because you come across on social media as such a happy person.
Oh,
and we all have our ups and downs. And we all have, and you have chaos going through everything that you're going through. But when people ask me, how are you able to maintain your happiness? And I tell them, because I get my true peace from Christ.
Yes.
I don't get it from anything else but from the Lord. How do you answer that question? The millions, the thousands of times people say, Misha, why are you always so happy?
So to you, I would turn to you and I would say the peace that transcends understanding, right?
Come on,
you're
That's
right
exactly
away going
right.
to go, I get that. I can connect to that. Someone who maybe couldn't, who was like me before God met me or I met God. Before then, I wouldn't have known either. So to them, I say this. All of my peace now, all of my happiness comes from because I know who I am in Christ. But before that, and that's okay if you're before that.
Yes.
If you find yourself at that position where it's before that, that is okay. You make a decision then when you wake up in the morning that come hell or high water, no matter what comes against me today, this is my only life that I get to live. So there is no way I'm going to sell my happiness to someone else or some circumstance that's going to change or whatever. I'm decided to be happy. And whatever comes along, I'm just going to ride that wave. And I think when you see life that way, that I'm just going to go with it and everything's going to be okay, that's the beginning of faith.
Yes.
And I think that starts then to roll that ball forward.
Yeah, we can't let anyone else hold our peace or anything else hold our peace.
No way.
So if we don't even know Christ yet, I'm still not going to give the power and the position
Correct.
of someone being my peace holder to anyone else other than me. But when I know Christ, I know who I am and whose I am. And I realize that I'm not identified and defined by anything that was done by me or to me. Yeah. I'm only identified by what was done for me on the cross of Jesus.
And I'm going to say one more thing to that end. When someone else sees you happy, you are doing them a blessing because then they get happy. And
yes,
this
correct.
Is the killer. The minute they're happy and you're making them happy, you get happy again yourself. So it's
contagious, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Enthusiasm is contagious.
Cyclical,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you made us very happy, Misha, by being here. Mm-hmm. And we really appreciate you taking time for being our first ever guest on Faith in the Field. On the Field show. And as a few parting gifts, we're going to give you how much of a shameless self-promotion
please.
Could this
shameless plug?
No,
a copy of my book, Birds of Prey.
I know you're doing this shameless little thing, but I would say I've been wanting to read this because I've seen a lot of people write about it on Twitter.
Thank you.
So I'm very excited. Thank you. And by the way, you know I'm going to tell you what I think about it when it's done.
Oh, hey, make sure you go on Amazon and send me
you bet I will.
And we have some new shirts.
And so this is so cute.
My wife Remy designed this.
That is so darn cute.
No, Jesus heals my soul.
Yeah, are you explaining to the camera what exactly everyone's looking at? Because those are
can they see
Louis Vuitton? Christopher Louis Vuitton.
Do you see that red?
Come on,
Jesus, my soul. And of course, we have to put on the back.
Shameless plug.
Faith on the Field show.
There's nothing else that should be on the back. And by the way, I work out. I do a little beast mode from now and then.
You're gonna rock that for us?
I am absolutely gonna rock that.
All right.
And
then here's another one.
I love it.
More precious than rubies.
They are.
Love it.
That is so cute.
And these are available. Doug will tell us later that people can find them on our website.
Actually going to take a selfie on those a little bit later.
Well, thank you so much.
You tell me that this is. You know, when I can have the link or whatever, I'm going to post this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much,
Misha. And when we come back, we will finish up and wrap up Faith on the Field show presented by Cairn University.
Would you consider taking charge of your financial stewardship while being biblically responsible with God's money? Consider partnering with Financial Issues. For a contribution of $85 a year, you'll get Dan's buy list every Monday morning. You will also receive our regular email alerts to give you updates on things you need to be alerted to, like economic data that could change how you should be treating your investments. And of course, we might be alerting you to buys or sells you should make. You'll have access to Dan's asset allocation models and have opportunities to adjust your portfolio accordingly. You can ask questions of Dan as part of his market and economic conference call every month. But best of all, you'll be supporting the ministry of Financial Issues. Would you become a partner today? You won't regret it. Go to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Cairn.edu.
And we are back on Faith on the Field show presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti, Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner. Doug, let everybody know where they can find us, catch up to us, and where they can buy all our fabulous new stuff.
You know, although we've talked about it, that it's not supposed to identify us, but following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter is much appreciated.
We're building our brand.
Because you want to get the episodes out, make sure you share them out to your friends. So hopefully God can bless you that way. Some new things, though, on faithinthefieldshow.com. Our t-shirts, Rob's book, Birds of Prey.
You can purchase signed copies
very good. From our website. So make sure you visit faithinthefieldshow.com. And FISM.TV is where you can find our live shows.
And those t-shirts that we gave to Misha, we have two new men's shirts, and they're incredible.
They're awesome.
So check those out. I want to thank everybody for watching, listening. Thank you. Big thanks to Matt Carpenter for being on the show, Misha Johnson for coming into the studio. Thank you to all of our incredible production staff, Kay, John, Darlene, Giuliano. We know you'll be back sometime soon. Thank you to Dan Celia. For Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
High stakes, deep faith, and unbreakable brotherhood. Hi, this is Rob Motti, author and narrator of the new book and audiobook, Birds of Prey. I'm excited to share this incredible inside story about how faith inspired the Philadelphia Eagles in the season when they captured the biggest prize in professional sports, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Inside the book, you'll discover how unique friendships, deep faith, and big dreams shaped one of the greatest seasons ever for the team. Start listening to Birds of Prey on SoundCloud and download Birds of Prey wherever audiobooks are sold.